So we are in the middle of a sermon series called God's Invitation to a Christ-Centered Life. And this passage that we're going to look at today from John chapter 20 gives us one important aspect of a Christ-centered life. It's set on the evening of the first Easter, and Jesus has appeared to Mary Magdalene, and then he comes to his disciples who are all gathered together in a group. And as you listen, listen for the mission that Jesus gives his disciples and how it is that he gives them strength to live that mission out. This is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the football season has been exciting so far, right? The Cleveland Browns, are there any Cleveland Browns fans here? No Cleveland Browns. It's hard. Oh, but there's one in the back. It is hard to be a Cleveland Browns fan because they just won their first game since December of 2016. So that was exciting, unless you were a Jets fan. Then there was that Bears game, right, against the Packers, right? Yes, this is when Aaron Rodgers, the star quarterback of the Packers, was out, and the Bears were up, I think, 20-0. And then before you knew it, the Packers ended up winning the game. It was exciting. It wasn't necessarily the result that Bears fans wanted, but it was exciting. It was the same thing when Northwestern, one of my teams, when Northwestern played the Akron Zips, and they were up 21-3 at the end of the first half, and then Akron zipped to the lead by the end of the game. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was exciting, right? So there's been lots of excitement this football season, but you know what's not exciting? The huddles. The huddles are, I mean, no one goes to a game to see the huddles. In fact, my theological commitment is that God created the DVR so that we would not have to watch huddles. We can just zip right through all of those huddles and get to the game because no one watches a football game for the huddles. It's not that the huddles aren't important, of course. I talked to a football coach who said that in the huddles, people get each other pumped up for the game, and the quarterback makes sure everyone knows the play and everyone knows where they're going. But there's no mistaking it. No one wins a game if you just stay in the huddle. The only way you win a game is if you actually go out and play the game. That, I think, is why Jesus comes to his disciples in our passage this morning. As I said, it's the evening of the first Easter. It's that first, and the disciples are grouped together in a little huddle, a little holy huddle. The disciples are grouped together in a little holy huddle where Jesus comes to them and gives them their mission and tells them that it's time to enter the game, right? Jesus tells them that their mission stems from his mission. Because he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And John gives us some insight into what the mission of these disciples is because of the mission that Jesus has. John tells us that Jesus says twice, "Peace be with you." So Christ's mission is one of peace for the world. And then Jesus shows the disciples his side and his hands, so they can see that part of Jesus' mission was to go to the cross, to show sacrificial love for the world. So that's what Jesus' mission was, and if that's what Jesus' mission was, that gives us hints about what the church's mission is, right? The mission of the church is to show sacrificial love to others too. That's the mission of the church. That's why Jesus wants us to spend more time in the game than in the huddle. It's not that the huddle is not important. It's important when we come together as Christians. It's important when we worship together. It's important when we spend time in Bible study together. It's important when Christians come together to encourage each other. But that's not the game. The game is when we show Christ's love to the world. And that means that there's something really important about this, that Jesus says, as the Father sends me, so I send you. In fact, it's so important that I give you permission to sleep the entire rest of the sermon as long as you pay attention for the next sentence. Just don't snore. Very off-putting to the people around you. But you can sleep as much as you want as long as you get this. Because if we're following Jesus' mission into the world, that means that the church does not exist for the benefit of its own members. The church exists for the benefit of the world. The only reason the church exists is so that the rest of the world will look the way that Jesus wants it to look. After all, remember, the huddle's not the thing. The game is the thing. No one fast-forwards through the game in order to get to the huddle. So you might say that the church, in our best moments, we major in the game and minor in the huddle. We major in the idea that we are sent out into the world, and we minor in the idea that we are to take care of each other and love each other. And I wanted to see if at least my group of friends major in the majors and minor in the minors. And so I posted on Facebook, on my Facebook, and then on the church's Facebook page, asking people to define what it is that they think of when they hear the word church. I wanted to see how many people were talking about the huddle and how many people were talking about the game. And people actually were interested in this, and I didn't count the pastors. In fact, I told pastors if they posted, I was going to delete them, and I did delete them because pastors talk about this stuff all the time. And I wanted to hear from what other people thought about what the church is. So I got 92 responses. 92 responses, and I went through and looked to see which ones tended to focus on the huddle and which ones tended to focus on the game. Now, before I tell you how many were in which, I'm going to read a couple of them to you and tell me whether you think they focus more on the huddle or on the game or on both. You didn't know you were going to get a pop quiz this morning, but I have lots of confidence in you. Here's the first one. A local community of believers in Jesus Christ as Son of God. They worship, learn, and serve God together. Hopefully they love Jesus and care about each other, but they also look outward to care about others, to serve the least of these, however that group is called to do that. Is it focusing on the huddle or the game or both? Both, right? The first part about worship, learning, and serving God together, and then caring outward for others and serving the least of these. Now, how about this one? The place and or community where a person seeks or finds God's comfort, grace, and strength. More the huddle, right? Right? Because it's more inwardly focused. Here's one. The church is a group gathered to worship and learn more about following God's teachings, and then becoming a stronger example of God's love, teachings, and practices. Both, huddle, game. Both, right? Yeah, both, because the first part, gathered together, and then becoming a stronger example outward, right? So now, it seems like if answering God's call to a Christ-centered life means joining Christ's mission to the world, it seems like we would major in the majors, major in the game, and minor in the huddles. So it seems like most of the answers would mention something about the game, right? Something about serving the world, something about loving beyond our bounds, something about going out. So there were 92 responses. I want you to turn next to somebody and guess how many people mentioned something about going out, something about the game. So turn to somebody near you. You might have to move a little bit to find somebody. And just guess a number. Of the 92, how many do you think focused on the game? All right, what do you think? Somebody give me a guess. 70 of the 72. It's lower than 70 of the 72. How many? 50. What was another one? 40. Keep going down. How many? 25. Keep going down. 20. Somebody said 20. It was 20 of the 92. 20 people of the 92 people said something about going out. And it's not that the other 72 were wrong. It's that they were incomplete. Right? Not that they were wrong, because the church does exist to spend time in the huddle, to encourage each other, to prepare each other. But without going into the game, it's not a complete answer. And the thing is, when we miss out on the game, we're missing out on what we were created to do. We're missing out on the joy that God gives us when we're in the game. Because the thing is, we were created to be in the game. We weren't created to be in the huddle. Some of you have been following along in the with this book that I recommended a couple of weeks ago, and we've been looking at the first couple of chapters of Genesis. At the very beginning of the Bible, we see that God puts humanity on the earth to care for the whole earth, that the whole earth would thrive. Then only a couple of chapters later, we hear God encouraging us to be our brothers and sisters' keeper. Then only a couple of chapters after that, we're still in the very beginning of the book of Genesis, God calls Abraham out of all the people of the world and says that you are blessed to be a blessing to others. And then by the time we get here to our Old Testament today, it's Jacob's ladder, the dream of Jacob's ladder, and in that dream, God tells Jacob that God is going to be with him always and that his kids are going to be as numerous as the sands on the seashore. And right in the middle of that passage, God says, all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. So even all the way back at the beginning of creation, God had given us the task going out into the game and not just sticking around in the huddle. And the thing is, when they go, they get joy. When they go out, they get joy because they're doing what they were created to do. And you know this is true too. Think back to how many work trip Sundays you have been to where the person speaking will say something like, I know we were there to help them, but I feel like I got more out of it than they did. Right? You hear that over and over and over again when people are out in the game. And I think it's because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit that comes to us when we're doing what we were created to do. That God gives us joy. And in this passage, the passage from John, Jesus says that he breathes on them and says, I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit gives us joy when we're out and about. And I know you know it's true because a couple of weeks ago you wrote about it on these cards. If you were here on Festival Sunday, most of the people in worship that day filled out one of these cards and placed it in the collection plate. And these cards asked people to write, where do you perceive God's presence in the life of our church or in your own life? Of course, many people talked about the huddle, but I want to read you some of what people said about the game. One person wrote, where they perceive God's presence in the life of our church or in your own life is mission. Giving back to the community is the most godly thing that one can do. Someone else said they perceive God's presence at tutoring for reading power. Someone else said to help the economically disadvantaged start and grow businesses and to the people to strengthen suffering communities. This is the message of God. And someone wrote, where they perceive God's presence is in rummage, seeing God provide for those in need. The thing is, I've seen so much joy in rummage. I've just been here for 1 year, and I have seen so much joy there. I mean, I know it's not all joy for everybody who works. I'm so thankful for the people in charge who handle the challenges with grace and dignity. But where I was, standing outside the door all day in the spring rummage sale, I saw so much joy. I saw every single person that came in. So I saw our poorer neighbors who were so happy to see quality children's clothing and toys that they never could have afforded if they were new. And I saw people who were joyful who came and couldn't believe how much stuff there was to be sold all over the place. And then I saw college students who were filled with joy as they arrived at 11 that there were still things left. There was so much joy coming through the door, but I saw even more joy of the people who were working. I got the joy of watching the people that were working security, and I use the word security loosely, but the people who interacted with everybody who left the building. And they would talk with them, and they would joke with them, and they would chat with them, and they would beam at them. And as every single person left, they got this glimpse of joy. And the people working had this glimpse of God's joy too. And I saw joy with the workers at the end of the day who were tired but knew that they had put in a long, hard day, knowing that people all over Chicago and all over the world would experience more of the life that God wants for them because they had been there working that day raising money for ministries that affect the world. It's the same kind of joy that I see when I go down to the rummage sorting room during the week here, when I see people working hard, sorting things, tossing things, triaging things, knowing that the work that they do is going to impact not the church, but the world. And see, that's the kind of joy that we get when we're in the game rather than in the huddle. It's the kind of work that we get when we realize that we're joining Christ's mission to the world. It's the kind of work we get when we lead a Christ-centered life, kind of joy we get when we lead a Christ-centered life. It's the kind of joy we get when we live out our blessed to be a blessing calling. And it's the kind of joy that we give Jesus when he sees that his words are ringing true in our lives. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Now let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for calling us on a mission, for equipping us for that mission, and giving us joy when we live it out. Lord, we want to live Christ-centered lives. Help us to do that. We pray in your powerful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.